The American dream has become a nightmare. Signs of the time are on cardboard, on corners in town. Like a cancer that's silently spreading, there's an unspoken fear. We're on our way down. We must take America back. Main Street to Wall Street, cities and states, Washington, D.C. Before it's too late, there's not long. We need leaders who lead us, not stick us and bleed us, then ransom our future and our children's, that's wrong. We must take America back as liberty weeps, our forefathers spin in their graves. Pray God will bless some way out of this mess. We must take America back.
Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. This is the National Intel Report. I am your host, John Stadtmiller. We're with you today. It's the 8th day already, folks. 8th day of March, 2021. And Steve, are you there?
Yep, I'm here.
How you doing?
Oh, I've had better days.
Yeah, what's wrong?
Oh, I just had a caller call in and push my buttons and put me in a really bad mood.
I heard that call, and he didn't want to hear what you had to say, and there wasn't anything that you could say to him that was going to change his mind.
So, yeah, I just can't believe, John, that anybody would try to find some reason, some rationale, and something positive to say, you know what, the government has the right to do that. They have the right to do that. Mm-hmm. I know GI means government issue, but no, they don't have that right to do you and use you as an experiment. They don't have that right. And I get very angry because I try to help people and hurt and people in injury. I like to, that's my job. I want to help people. And just the idea that we have a government that back then, and they're still doing it today, that would think of the people as experimental. I mean, we got COVID. This is an experimental vaccine. They're part of a big project, a big experiment now. And, I don't know, I take serious issue with that, and I blew my top. I'm angry.
Well, and you know, that's fine. But I had a little experience going up to Arkansas. I ended up in Arkadelphia, which where I thought Roger Landry was, and I called him, and I said, well, I'm here. And he goes, where? And I said, Arkadelphia. He goes, I don't live there. He said, I'm up north. And I said, how far north? Damn near to Missouri. And he says, and evidently he thought I was really angry or upset. And I said, why should I let that upset me and ruin the rest of my day?
There you go.
I mean, it's done. It's over with. Hey, I'll see you when I see you. And things worked out just fine. So I'm now deciding, Steve, that there are some people that are not even worth your anger. You just roll your eyes, throw up your hands, and go, okay. One of the conversations that I had over this weekend is, you know, how do you tell people that are stupid that they're stupid? I mean, isn't this an oxymoron? If you're dumb and you want to remain that way, and it doesn't matter what you say, how do you fix stupid? You don't.
Yeah.
So you just let them.
Oh, I agree. Yeah. I agree with you on that. It's what I then will go to fight and defend are the children who have no say so. Those are the ones I fight for now. And people, you know, telling me I'm crazy. My cousin thinks I'm a whacked out nut there.
Well, of course
I'm trying
he does.
To stop. What's that?
I said, of course he does. You shared with me the text, and I appreciate that because I got the full gravity of where he was coming from, what you were saying, how he was responding, and he's wrong. I know that, and you know it, but there's nothing you're going to be able to do. You've tried your level best, and this is a family member. You've tried your level best. You know what? There's a whole lot of other people out there that are willing to listen. That's when I move on and I concentrate on that. Steve, I've always said that the family is sometimes the hardest because if you're I'm not part of that norm, or you don't cycle yourself like they do, and, you know, that you're somehow the black sheep, and you're suspect with your opinions about things, and then you're kind of shunted or shunned from the tribe. And you know what? For a lot of people, that's really difficult, and I understand that. But sometimes that's what has to take place. The bigger picture here, this is just not about one individual or one family. This is the future of our country.
That's right.
When I keep that in proper perspective, send your cousin up here. I'll roll him over with a steamroller.
No, I'm just done
teasing.
With him.
I'm just teasing.
Wrote him off. He's done.
Well,
he's
and that's the way it should. And, you know, the same thing goes with callers. There are callers I don't agree with, but there isn't very often people call me up to challenge me on something because I've rooted out of my, at least my program, the moles and the trolls.
Yeah.
You know, what a grand experiment. You know, have you ever, Steve, called into a liberal program before and challenged them? I mean, it's next to useless. Even if you did get through, you're potted down, you're talked over, and that's it. And I, for one, there's more people out there that want to find out what's going on. And the key to our future is understanding where we're at today, what they did in the past. I think we do a pretty good job at this network, but there are people that don't want to believe that. I ran into somebody over the weekend that heard my show and said, John, you're wrong about the Great Lakes being only 13,000 years old. They're much, much older than that. I said, no, they're not. See, we have been taught to listen to the new science, Steve, not the science, not the archaeologists, not the people that make a life study out of this stuff. And I am just thoroughly amazed. There are things that will blow your mind once you find out how things actually work. And that always keeps me, how should I say, fascinated.
Right.
Well, this is another show. Leave that one behind. By the way.
I will. I'll do that.
By the way, Greg Abbott, everybody was cheering. Oh, you know, they even heard the news in Arkansas. By the way, in Arkansas, the corporate, they're all masked up. The people up there, they're about divided, about half and half. I had the opportunity to talk to a lot of people out on the road. And, you know, I didn't run into one person that said, well, it's your responsibility socially to mask up and social distance and do your vaccines. Well, our governor down here, Mr. Abbott, he made the headlines by ending a statewide face mask mandate. And he says, hey, businesses, you can fully open. Well, not quite. You know, the headline is better than the facts. I'm already starting to see college sports saying, oh, well, we're going to allow a certain percentage in. Still the same game. HEB, the chain that's big down here, it's headquartered in Texas, they're still going to, they didn't say mandate, but they said they're going to suggest that people still mask up. It's the companies and the corporations, Steve, that is doing this. Here's what happened.
What did Biden call your governor? Called him a what? A Neanderthal?
Yeah, Neanderthal. Here's what Abbott said.
The state will deploy more than 1,100 National Guard across the state to help communities vaccinate homebound seniors. Some National Guard will be involved in the identification and registration of the seniors in the community to get them on the list to be able to get the vaccine. Other National Guard will be involved in the vaccination process. This effort begins this coming week.
Yeah. Now, anybody who listens to this program, if they have anybody in a senior facility here in Texas, I want to hear from you once they inject your mother, your father, your uncle, your aunt, whomever. I want to hear from you because...
Well, John, I'd have the question. My question is, in a nursing facility like that, I wonder if they'll vaccinate everybody. Because there's no out on this one with the elderly.
No, I mean...
That's what I want to know.
Yeah.
Do they have a right to say no?
Well, that seems to be a source of contention here, isn't it? Who owns your body? Mm-hmm. And it might even go right back to the argument about, giving troops syphilis, for God's sakes.
Right.
You know, isn't it strange that the very same people that they did this syphilis trial on, these are the very same guys that were in P-51 Mustangs, they called them the Red Tails, Tuskegee Airmen.
I know.
And they were out there protecting the U.S. bombers on our daily run, see the English over Germany. They said, hell, we're not doing that during the day. We'll get shot up. They could see you. So what did the United States do? Yeah, we took the daytime bombing runs. But who they incorporated was the Tuskegee Airmen with the P-51s. And you know what? They didn't lose one bomber due to attacks from German fighters. So here's a situation where these people were absolutely, totally used and abused and then turned around and were heroes. But you don't hear much about that. But, of course, in today's world, it's the woke culture, isn't it?
It is.
All right.
We're being canceled.
Yeah.
Makes you want to go get a suntan, and then I can play my race card. I got a tan now.
Just came in the network, plopped down, going over the news here. Do you remember January 6th, Steve? I was up in Washington, D.C. The attack on the Capitol building happened 15 minutes before Mr. Trump gave his go down and tear the building down speech, according to the mainstream media. But he disappeared for a couple of days. Remember that?
Yeah. Uh-huh.
Well, the reason he disappeared is because General Flynn showed up in a chopper, got Donald in it, they took off, they put him in the air, and they hopscotched all over this country going to Air Force bases. And then the next time we saw Donald Trump surface, it was down on the border, of which, by the way, Mr. Abbott, our governor, is sending state police and National Guard down on the Texas border because the United States government doesn't want to follow the law, doesn't want to protect Americans. So at least Abbott is making, and we'll see how this works out, at least he's making the overt political attempt here to stem the flow of migrants, illegal aliens into the country. Let's just get it right. We've got video up showing hundreds in Arizona just waltzing across the border right into our country.
This wearing nice T-shirts, Biden let us in. Yeah. Wonder who funded that.
Isn't that amazing?
Nice T-shirts.
Yeah.
They must have my T-shirt guy down here.
You know, and here's Joe.
Those are nice T-shirts.
Yeah, here's JoJo telling us, oh, we've got to mask up for the first 100 days. We're going to mask up. And I'm sorry. Now you've got a bunch of illegal aliens just traipsing across the border. Forget your COVID-19. What disease are they bringing in? See, this is never discussed, Steve. And this is never part of the adult conversation that should be taking place. You know, time was the press, when they smelled something in this country that didn't smell right, it was news. It was exposed. It was talked about. It was printed. It was spoken of. And it was debated, and people knew about it. Now, not anymore. Hell, you can hijack an entire election for president of the United States and flush it down the memory hole.
Yeah.
There used to be that
old saying, if it bleeds, it leads. But for some reason, the lapdog media is not doing their jobs. They haven't done their job in a long time. They're going along with their agenda, what they've been told to talk about. And just going back to what you talked about, Donald Trump, what's your theory on what was going on, him bouncing around? What do you think was happening there?
Well, here's what I got. Part of the discussion was for Donald Trump. People wanted to know, did Donald Trump give up? You know, did he stop fighting? Did they sit him down and tell him, say, look, you're not occupying the White House. If you do, we'll just kill you. Did they threaten to go after his family? Well, we will not know that except for the person that may have spoken those words or Donald's ear that might have heard those words. But there was an offer made. And the offer was, run for Congress. We'll make sure you get in there. When that happens, we're going to go after JoJo and Kamala. And, oh, by the way, the Speaker of the House, Nancy Pelosi. See if something the President, Vice President are unable or unable to fulfill the duties of the office of the President of the United States, well, then it goes to the Speaker of the House. But they had grand plans to get rid of Nancy as well. So they were considering making Donald Trump Speaker of the House. Now, supposedly, he's considering that. He's going to be working with Republicans. I think he's finally learned, Steve, what a good Republican is and what a bad Republican is. This guy was a neophyte. Everybody was in his ear. Everybody wants to blame Donald Trump for some of the bad personnel decisions he's made. But keep in mind that there were Washington insiders that could smile in your face, shake your hand, look you in the eye, and with the other hand, getting out the dagger to stab you in the back. That's politics as usual in Washington, D.C. But in Donald Trump's case, here's the deal. The deal was that we were not supposed to have Donald in 2016. And everybody, Steve, that came after me and this network, oh, no, he's been selected. He was not. It was supposed to be Barack Obama for 8 years, slide in Hillary with her great village, and let's get on down the road with the socialization, communization, technocratic takeover, the corporate takeover of America. Most people think that this is, it's going to be communism, and they're going to practice. No, folks, this is corporatism. This is the power behind a throne directly connected to the umbilical cord known as the Bankster Gangsters. They're setting it up as their playground. Steve, this answers in part why you see these corporations, this madness with going with the cancel culture or supporting Black Lives Matter. They're up to their eyeballs in this. And I am just amazed. You know, it kept haunting me. Why are these people doing this? Well, there's another thing to consider in this, that when the corporatists, they want to do business. Their job is to dominate marketplace. I don't care what product or service you're offering. They want the whole enchilada. And part of this program is to eliminate the smaller competition out there, the smaller market people, what we refer to as being mom or pop or a good company, smaller company. It is to eliminate that competition. And a lot of people, they're I don't know if they're starstruck or what the deal is here, Steve, but they're not seeing things in the eventuality of where this stuff is going, and they had better start. By the way, I wanted to play a clip. My Sunday night friend played this clip, and I want to play this clip for this audience, Steve. I know you've already done 2 hours. It'd be nice to just sit back and relax and listen and take a few minutes break here. But when we get back from the break, I want to play this, and that lays out what happened in Washington, D.C. on the heels of Mr. Ray coming out and saying that the militias are responsible for the BLM riots. They're responsible for what happened in... Well, no, they weren't. It was those white people. And then on the heels of this, Steve, what did they do? Oh, they ran the story, Iranian militias are in Washington, D.C., getting ready to shoot the place up. Yeah. Anybody here want to say BS? Hold on. We'll be back. Because the heat is on.
Hello, I'm Dr. Leonard Horowitz. I was right 30 years ago in warning the world about threatening lab virus outbreaks, AIDS, and Ebola. I was right 20 years ago when FBI Director Robert Mueller made me a suspect in the anthrax mailings because I warned the Bureau before the CIA's biocrime and Cipro sales psyops happened. I was right about COVID-19 being an AIDS-laced mutagen plan to resurge this fall to excuse officials' profitable depopulation globalization agendas. And I was right about the only safeguards being antioxidants and holy spiritual sustenance. Vitamin C, D, zinc, chlorophyll, oxygen, and oxysilver especially transmits the frequency resonance to neutralize the expanded function bioweapon. Oxysilver is a double superconductor of the healing power of love. It is the first nutraceutical invented to amplify prayer power and the faithful, loving intention of your heart. Buy, try, and stockpile OxySilver through HealthyWorldStore.com.
Folks, we're living in a world the likes of which we've never perceived any clearer than we do now. The plan for global governance has been in the works for generations and would have likely been achieved by now, but for the fact that the globalists left open their Achilles heel. With all their tools, Federal Reserve System, fiat currency, No Child Left Behind, and then Common Core education introduced to our schools to dumb us down, vaccines, pharmaceuticals to lobotomize us, GMO foods, insertion of compromised or bought and paid for politicians, judges, mainstream media propaganda, all pieced together like a puzzle designed to ultimately bring the world under submission. But with all their strategy, they forgot one thing: knowledge. And knowledge is power. With knowledge, their bombardment is nullified. Folks, with that, as brilliant and knowledgeable as you've become, among the wisest audience of any radio audience in the world, and you are, I want you to take a moment to reflect and ask yourself, how much of that knowledge did I obtain from Republic Broadcasting Network? How high has my consciousness been raised since I've been a listener? How fast am I now able to discriminate truth from fake news by being a Republic Broadcasting listener? How clear am I now able to see the world since I've been listening to RBN? Ask yourselves those questions, folks. Then ask yourself, what is that knowledge worth to me? Like my morning coffee, how would I survive without it? A voice of truth in a sea of lies. Do we not all need to make sure it survives? Like public broadcasting, we are now finding we can only survive with listener support. Censorship, advertisers being attacked, truth itself being attacked. It's the only way through this. We at Republic Broadcasting humbly ask you to become a supporter. Look at your budget and make a determination of what Republic Broadcasting is worth to you and what you can afford on a monthly basis. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and pledge 20, 30, 40, 50, if possible, 100 a month or more if it's affordable. Click the donate button and become a regular monthly donor. Assure both us and yourself that Republic Broadcasting truth will continue to flow like that morning coffee. The network thanks you.
It's hard to find in the morning papers. It's hard to find in the magazines. It doesn't matter what show you tune in. It's hard to find on TV screen. But it's on talk radio. Truth is on talk radio. Turn it on, turn it up as loud as it'll go.
Steve, this video was put together by a female journalist, and I will call her a journalist because she's got the ability to speak and to write and to investigate, so she's an investigative journalist. Her name is Millie Weaver, and this presentation is an hour and 26 minutes long, but I heard a portion of it last night played on the network. And it is real information, and what is covered totally contradicts and proves the lie about what happened on January 6th. Steve, what do you want to do with it? Because the information is stellar. I mean, I could do my little crib notes, come back and make it mine, or we can let the woman speak for herself. What do you want to do?
Yeah, play it. Play it. It's fine. I read that article criticizing Christopher Wray today. And, you know, it mentioned getting Trump made a lot of mistakes and getting people. He kept people that he thought were going to be loyal to him,
mm-hmm.
which turned out to be the deep state that he wished to get rid of. But the question in the article, I think it was John Rappaport this morning, he talked about, so if we had Donald Trump back in for a second term, would he do things right this time, or would he still be fighting the establishment?
Oh.
And that's a really good question to ask.
Would he be fighting
the establishment again?
No, I think Donald found out who's who and what's what in Washington, D.C. He was a neophyte. You know, he was asked, do you want to run for president? He considered it. Like I said before, his ego told him, yeah, business, I can help this country business-wise. I can cut out all this folderol and get involved in stuff that's going to eliminate jobs, kill the country, and whatever else. He had a clear mission, and that's what he set out to do. But something happened on the way to the Roman Forum. Here is Millie Weaver. And again, Steve, I'm half tempted to play this thing in its entirety. That's how important the information is. So let me do this.
I'll stick around if you do. That's fine.
All right. Well, it's going to take us right to the end of the program.
That's fine.
All right. Okay, then. This is the first time I've ever done this, folks. This is how important this information is. And remember the name Mr. Solomon. Oh, yeah. Well, and I will warn you, okay, listeners out there, now this is in the context of this story. Some of it is live recording inside of the Capitol building, okay? So take that with a grain of salt. I didn't want to edit this. I didn't want to touch it. It's not my work. I'm going to give full credit to Millie Weaver, as should be given. Because this is stellar stuff. I've never heard or seen anything in this depth and the entirety of the situation. So here it is, folks. Enjoy. Because you can handle the truth. By the way, PSYOPs the Steal is the title of the presentation.
Had the storming of the Capitol not occurred, this second impeachment would have not happened, and evidence of alleged election fraud would have been presented. What happened on January 6th was planned well in advance as part of a contingency intent on ruining President Trump's chances for staying in office. Remember my report, Election Night Coup d'Etat? The thumbnail shows the U.S. Capitol on fire. Back in October, I had leaked a tactical map that was obtained from inside these leftist organizations and protest groups, and recorded Zoom chats talking about taking over buildings in Washington, D.C. to prevent President Trump from remaining president under any circumstances.
Group number five, that's Capitol Disruption. You are going to have 2 minutes to tell us what your plans are.
Could be gathering outside the perimeter, perhaps taking mass direct action to physically challenge that perimeter or cross barriers or defy the curfew en masse, providing physical defense of threats of Proud Boys or anyone else, filming and documenting, making sure that whatever's happening in D.C. is being shared with the world, and that when we say the world is watching, we can actually be literal.
All of this prior to the election.
Some of the stuff that Shut Down DC is doing, some of the ways we're thinking about this that could be replicated in cities across the country. We've been working on a target map and a framework for scenario.
You can actually see they have the Capitol lined out as a target zone for activities.
I think we don't have a lot of experience taking over government buildings. And we might need to think about that. And I know, as I said earlier, how, you know, we may find ourselves in the streets with people with different tactics than ours. But, like, there may be some people that are willing to break the windows to get into the government buildings. Like, if that's what we need to do, then we shouldn't fight about that. Let's do that.
Over the summer, predictive program models like the Transition Integrity Project laid out four possible outcomes of the 2020 election. All four possible outcomes had one of the other candidates winning with neither candidate conceding. The model leaned towards how to secure a Biden win given any one of the four scenarios. all in the name of defending democracy. This same predictive model was used by leftist organizations to role play out the various scenarios through simulation exercises.
I think we're going to start with our election simulation timeline to a meltdown today. Is everybody ready?
We're going to read out a brief scenario and then develop a plan based on that scenario.
So the teams are based on, loosely based on, you know, similar organizations in our real world. We have Liberty City Antifa. We have Capital Disruption.
Lincoln Project senior advisor Michael Steele was a leading figure in the Transitional Integrity Project, the source of the predictive models used to war game out how to secure a Biden win.
Group number two, the Nixon Project. The floor is yours.
Our strategic point of intervention, because we are prominent Republicans, we are first going to approach the mainstream media and to also lean into our networks that we will use positions of corporate prominence to lock out all Republicans, including those on the Trump team, from future corporate jobs, media interviews, etc.
They practice with participants ranging from activist federal employees in senior executive services positions to protest agitators.
Everything from choose democracy to hold the line, to shut down, we count on us. I listed a few of those in the slides earlier, but you know, they're the ones who are really in the vanguard of helping people think about, interpret red lines, and think about different actions that can be taken well beyond kind of street protests and demonstrations.
I'm going to go in thinking Antifa is going to be in coalition, but doing its thing and being on the radical end, but part of the package.
Making sure that we're naming what is happening as a coup.
Totally agreed. In the shutdown DC conversations that I've been having, and that's not on the federal side, we also are often saying, call it a coup, it's a coup. Don't let anyone tell you it's not.
From bureaucratic slowdown tactics to agent provocateur tactics, they were working together in unison towards a common goal, a Biden win regardless of any one of the four possible scenarios.
We should be clear, like, it's gotta go, Trump's gotta go.
Throughout the fall of 2020, predictive headlines about Trump staging a coup during the election started circulating. Headlines were predicting Trump plans a white supremacist coup against a Biden win.
What the president is doing here is the most explicit that he has been about his plans for this election. He's plotting in open and public repeatedly a coup.
Leftist organizers were planning their so-called counter coup against President Trump. How were they able to plan against a coup that hadn't happened yet, based off of an election result that no one would have predicted, yet miraculously they knew which states were going to be contested? How, wow, how amazing. How did they get the precise election results they needed to match their predictive election response that they've been planning, practicing, and role-playing? As I've mentioned before, AFL-CIO whistleblowers provided sworn statements that union leadership mobilized union members at polling locations for the purpose of election working.
Why were they sending it?
Well, that's kind of obvious why they were sending it. It's election fraud.
The shadow campaign was so bold, they couldn't help but brag about it in a Time magazine article. The secret history of the shadow campaign that saved the 2020 election. Actually, they probably saved it on a hard drive months ahead of time. A well-funded cabal of powerful people ranging across industries and ideologies working together behind the scenes to influence perceptions, change rules and laws, steer media coverage, and control flow of information. They were not rigging the election. They were fortifying it.
They even reference data-driven strategies and the AFL-CIO's involvement in mobilization at polling centers. More people voted than were even registered to vote. More people voted than are even adults in the U.S. of A. But we're supposed to believe that, right? Right up until opportunists started storming the Capitol, Trump was well within the Constitution. There was time and plenty of legal remedies available to justify not conceding. We had the moral high ground. The cyber and legal teams announced having watched in live time the expected techniques of hacking election machines and use of counterfeit ballots during the Georgia runoff election.
As we caught it live last time in real time, how the machines contributed to that fraud. They put those ballots in a secret folder in the machines, sitting there waiting until they know how many they need. And then the machine, after the close of polls, we now know who's voted and we know who hasn't. And I can now, in that machine, match those unvoted ballots with an unvoted voter and put them together in the machine. We saw it happen in real time last night, and it happened on November 3rd as well.
Enough data, expert testimony, and witnesses had surfaced that an increasing number of representatives were willing to have the evidence presented over the next few days.
Over the next 10 days, we get to see the machines that are crooked, the ballots that are fraudulent, and if we're wrong, we will be made fools of. But if we're right, a lot of them will go to jail.
There were states' legislatures who were already sending letters saying that they wanted the slates to be sent back, that now after they had reviewed the evidence, after they had heard the witness testimonies regarding election fraud and meddling, they were actually requesting the slates back so that they could then do a new hearing. But all of that got wrecked. They were able to use this new data to corroborate their initial data from the November 3rd election. The Senate and House joint session to certify the election had just started to hear objections.
Are there any objections to counting the certificate of vote?
I rise up for myself and 60 of my colleagues to object to the counting of the electoral ballots from Arizona.
An objection presented in writing and signed by both a representative and a senator complies with the law, Chapter 1 of Title 3 of the United States Code. The clerk will report the objection. The two houses will withdraw from joint session. Each house will deliberate separately on the pending objection and report its decision back to the joint session.
When all of a sudden, right on cue, they had to go into recess due to the storming of the Capitol.
Without objection, the chair declares the House in recess pursuant to Clause 12B of Rule 1.
While everyone was focused on the storming of the U.S. Capitol, the then Director of National Security, John Ratcliffe, wrote his views on intelligence community election security analysis, raising concerns about the intelligence community downplaying China having interfered in the 2020 election. Had the riot not taken place, Ratcliffe had the political momentum and opportunity to show how China interfered in the 2020 election to the benefit of Biden and Harris, while evidence would have been presented in the House. Basically, Ratcliffe's report says that a bunch of these CIA analysts were so biased against Trump that even though they saw all the evidence of China election interference, they chose to just downplay it and ignore it and write it off. Let that sink in. Who benefited from the violence of January 6th? Clearly not President Trump nor his supporters.
House managers, nine of them will walk the article of impeachment charging President Trump with incitement of insurrection.
Donald John Trump engaged in high crimes and misdemeanors by inciting violence against the government of the United States. In that, on January 6, 2021.
President Trump is practically and morally responsible for provoking the events of the day.
There is no future with Trumpism.
The rhinos and neocon establishment Republicans who wanted to get rid of their party of Trumpism benefited in not having to support Trump by contesting the vote. January 6th gave them an excuse to accept the election results that they wanted. For instance, Marsha Blackburn first said, "I cannot, in good conscience, turn a blind eye to the countless allegations of voter fraud in the 2020 presidential election. On January 6th, I will vote in favor of objecting to the certification of the Electoral College results." Then, on January 6th, after the storming of the Capitol, she said, "I will vote in support of certifying the Electoral College result." Wow! As though countless allegations of voter fraud magically disappeared because some idiots decided to storm the Capitol and disrupt her ability to object to the certification of the Electoral College results. The Democrats benefited the most because they, after all, were in a position to seize ultimate power. All they needed was an excuse to attack Trump for not conceding the election. Because at the end of the day, the establishment controls people within both parties. And they make sure of that. And they're not going to allow a non-establishment president. It's that simple. So now, after the riot conveniently interrupted one of the most historic moments in election history, the volumes of evidence of alleged election fraud no longer mattered. Everything is now about the so-called insurrection on the 6th and the impeachment that resulted. I mean, that right there, that's some prize-winning narrative control right there. That, I mean, they really get one there as far as like PSYOPs and IIA. Gotta hand it to the ones that did this one. Flip that narrative around. Wag the dog on steroids. They accomplished that goal. Let's take a look at those being blamed for organizing the storming of the Capitol. Apparently, the FBI needs your help identifying people, even though they have some of the most advanced facial recognition technology. The Capitol grounds has state-of-the-art surveillance equipment, but we need low-resolution images taken from social media and you to figure out who's who.
This is an FBI bulletin seeking information on these people. They're probably looking for the people that they have already face ID'd and know that they're just regular Americans.
It'll cycle through the clear channel, but watch, the next one that comes through, this guy's a freaking contractor.
Yeah, we're going to go check the video right now to see.
Let's have a look at some of the never-before-seen footage and evidence put together by witness testimony and expert analysis from back in mid-January. I'm Millie Weaver. I'm an investigative journalist, and we're going to be going over John Sullivan, the BLM Antifa agent provocateur that was inside the Capitol on January 6th, not by himself, but with his friends. Now, this is an article dating back to July 10th, 2020 from Deseret.com out of Utah, which shows John Sullivan was arrested at a protest in Provo, accused of rioting and making threats. John Sullivan was one of the organizers of this protest in Utah. During the course of the protest, two handguns were brandished and two shots fired toward a motorist traveling. Vehicles were damaged by protesters as well by John Sullivan. John Sullivan has three Twitter accounts that we've identified. He runs a website called Insurgents USA as well, and he also has a YouTube account. On January 1st, he posts an image screenshot of Trump tweeting about his protest rally on the 6th. He says, "Chud alert." Chud is a derogatory term directed at Trump supporters, typically used by Antifa.
He says Trump is like the official organizer of J-Fash, as in fascism, rally. When he told PBS to stand down and stand by, he really wasn't kidding. We need numbers. So he's calling others to show up. To show up. No fascists in D.C. March against fascism. Spread the word, comrades. Here you can see that John Sullivan again promoted everyone meeting up with him that he knows at his event that he has located at the Washington Monument, where they're meeting up at 11 a.m. He says, time to kick this fascist out of D.C. on January 6, 2020. Trump is not our president. Dump him for good. Location, Washington Monument, 11 a.m. So that's a meeting location. He then promotes his website, Insurgents USA, for more information. Now we take you to John Sullivan's website, insurgentsusa.com. Now, this is a screen capture that we were able to obtain from the web archive, because not long after the Capitol disruption that happened that John Sullivan participated in, he actually took down this event off of his website. But we have it using the web archive. There you see the same event for January 6th at 11 a.m. on his website. It also says here that you can click here to register. It's interesting to note that he has a planned event at the Utah State Capitol on January 23rd coming up as well. Now we're going to show you a video that John Sullivan posted on social media where he is showing and training others how to dress in black block, which is a clothing style that Antifa typically wear. He also is advertising that he sells riot gear on his website and referring people to purchase the riot gear sold on his website.
So properly dress, black block, pretty simple, all black. But a lot of people get the misconception. Maybe you can wear a black t-shirt that has a logo on it on the sleeve or on the chest. No, you cannot. No logos, guys. Zero, none. You cannot have anything that they would be able to come back and identify you at the end of the day. I have listed all the items that I have on right now that I've purchased, that I've worn on the website, on my website. I've gone through the liberty of putting them on there so you guys can buy them off there for the same price as you would get in the store. All you comrades out there know what I'm talking about, all right?
Here we can see another final promotional ad promoting his event. On the 6th, he says, meet us and be there 11 a.m. sharp. He also says, front line, must have tactical gear, bulletproof vests, bring first aid kits and water. He's clearly advertising this event multiple times, so it's clear to see that he's not just someone attending, he is advertising it. John Sullivan was arrested, only then to later have been released. I filmed him outside the Hilton Garden Inn the night he was released. Were you at the Capitol?
I'm on the phone.
Okay.
Yeah, sorry. People are talking.
He was staying at a hotel that many other Trump supporters, including myself, were staying at.
So he just said on the phone that he is not being charged with anything. Did you say you weren't being charged with anything? I thought I heard you say that. Are you Black Lives Matter, John?
People were shocked and outraged that John Sullivan was so quickly released after there was video evidence of him inside the Capitol, breaking and entering, breaking windows, and telling everyone that they needed to burn the place down.
We gotta burn this. We gotta get this shit burned. Oh my God, we did this shit. We took this shit. What's up, bro? Fucking yeah, fuck yeah. Fucking did this shit.
Don't do that.
My bad. Hey guys, I have a knife. It's okay, though. You'll be fine. It's only your old jail time. You know they're gonna clear this.
I do this all the time.
Let me through. I got a knife.
Hey,
I want you to go home.
We have to
go. Let's go.
Get this shit.
John Sullivan was arrested again and is being criminally charged with 3 felonies. This is a Facebook page managed by James Sullivan, John Sullivan's brother.
He posts on January 6th, following the Capitol disruption, "This is James Sullivan, founder of Civilized Awakening. Looks like my brother John and Antifa were the, in quotes, patriots who stormed the U.S. Capitol today, and he decided it was smart to jump in front of the camera," with laughing emojis. Here we can see private messages over Instagram that were given to us by some of the campaign organizers at Women for America First, because they noticed that James Sullivan had actually reached out to them, even as far back as November, attempting to try to get them to give himself and some of the other people he associates with their own stage and a permitted area during the March for Trump. Of his speakers that he actually hands them over a paper, he lists Ali Alexander, as he goes by, with a long-standing reputation as a political dirty trickster and agent provocateur. Ali Alexander hijacked the Women for America First events.
I sought power. I sought power and influence. If we did not fill the gap, I'm convinced that Trump would have already conceded.
That's Ali Alexander. Alexander has launched a Stop the Steal website seeking donations and claiming he doesn't have time to start a stupid nonprofit or LLC, so just send him the money.
Here is the official site, stolenelection.us. So this is from Kylie Jane Kremer, who works with the campaign. She's for Women for Trump. She's incredible.
The actual event organizers were Women for America First. They were the ones who had the permits.
I don't want any permits for a First Amendment movement.
According to Alexander, if it weren't for the movement, there would have been a huge disconnect between the American people and the issue of election fraud.
Ali and his associates would piggyback their events and try to claim ownership.
He's taken all her events, like where they're going, what they're doing, hijacked the hashtag, created a website of the hashtag so that you can go to stopthesteal.us and pay them money. And when you click donate, it goes straight to him, to his Cash App, to his Bitcoin, to his PayPal. It's not going to the president. It's going to him. He's a fraud.
I'm not making money from this. I'm not making money from this.
This guy is a thief.
How much money are you making on all this?
Zero. Zero. I'm dedicating my time and my company's team.
How do we know that with all the money that's going to your private
account? They're not donors.
Since Alexander's money is going to him, he doesn't have to report how he spends it. Organized and motivated by lies is turning out real protesters. The potential beginning of a new, powerful, and easily manipulated political movement.
With other known agitators, Ali had been organizing protests inside Capitol buildings in other states. It was apparent that he was planning to do a siege on the U.S. Capitol on January 6th.
Revolution! Revolution!
Using other state capitals for practice dry runs.
We're going to be ready to storm the Capitol with us in a couple of minutes.
We're all actors. But I want to direct and act.
He says he's a Trump supporter, right?
Trump, would you shut up? Would you shut up? Rhetorically, Trump was retarded. Trump was just annoying.
Well, that's exactly how you would do it. Think about it.
Stop the Steal is not just a political movement. It's not even a Trump movement. It's not a Trump movement.
You become the face of your enemy so that when the media demonizes you, they're actually demonizing your enemy. Slick. Shadowgate 2.0 called out Ali Akbar months ago, prior to January 6th.
And I go shopping for money from billionaires. And a lot of times these billionaires give me money to go do what I want to do to find out information.
They call me the hammer sometimes. And you're about to find out why.
That Ali plays behind the curtain.
Posting videos titled Stop the Steal Takes Over Georgia Capitol isn't that cryptic. It became obvious that Ali was leading people to storm the Capitol on January 6th.
I want to say something. I don't disavow this. I do not denounce this. This is completely peaceful, looks like so far. and there are a couple of agitators that I obviously don't endorse, but this is completely peaceful.
But Ali wasn't the only one involved in subverting the president's rally. We have three different sources that were able to separately identify the father of John and James Sullivan, and that he claims to have been involved in psychological operations.
Let's not be mistaken. Psychological warfare is manipulation.
Lying in order to irrefutably brand your enemy as evil and deserving of destruction has always been tempting. But the primary mission of psychological warfare specialists is to lower the morale and decrease the efficiency of the enemy soldier on the immediate tactical battlefield.
My name is Jason Funes. I'm a former Trump campaign staffer, 16 and 20 administration staffer, and working formerly and still in private armed security. I'm a witness to a collaborator between John and James Sullivan. They're both working both sides of the conservative and liberal movements for their own private agenda. My contact has made facial contact with their assumed father, who is a older white gentleman, former military army, who was admittedly in charge of psychological operations. And we have to evidence to believe that this gentleman is also the head of bringing Americans to Syria to train troops for Antifa and militant-style attacks here in domestic soil.
Jack Apache Sullivan, the adopted father. My concerns with Mr. Sullivan, his being involved in the military, and specifically what he does, and admittedly so, in psychological operations, was his involvement with possibly bringing in, Antifa types for his son, John, both from the outside the continental United States and from the interior. Briefly discussed, in the time that I was with him, his sons, James and John, when asked if John Sullivan was, trained, specifically that, it was a family secret.
You were at the monument whenever I was there?
Yes.
Why were you there at the monument?
Jake says that I was there because of James.
You've seen me. I just kind of lurk in the
shadows. I remember you.
Look, I'm very close to John and James. I just filmed James's engagement. Again, this happens in D.C. I'm like, John wants to be there. James wants to be there for this event.
Yeah, he said the entire mafia paid for everybody to fly out there. Yeah, I'll cover this shit for Jade, too, because Jade's saying, yeah, the Italian mafia, she was telling me this shit. The Italian mafia paid for everybody to fly out there.
I'm of the opinion that what we saw yesterday fucking was very much by design, that we did have agent provocateurs, and I'm of the opinion that you're one of them.
Interesting. Really interesting on that. Why do you think I'm one of them?
Because you're your father is. Your father's psyops, man.
So you've met my dad, okay? So,
I mean, your dad referred to your alleged trips to Syria. What your father said was, it's a family secret.
Wait, have you been to Syria?
That makes sense now. I can understand where you... Okay, oh, interesting. So he said, I've been to Syria.
The straight answer was no.
Okay.
Then the question was asked, well, why is this accusation floating around? And he said, it's a family secret. Kind of fucking further elaborates my point.
Just explain to you, because maybe that's a misunderstanding in words as well. Because I know people are going to storm the Capitol. I'm on chats, I'm on underground chats. Like, I have my resources. There's not me, but I have people, right? And I'm not saying some fucking pop type shit. I'm saying my people in my organization, Surgeons USA, was civil rights group that is Black Lives Matter, or if you want to label it Antifa, because Trump wants to label it Antifa, but I label myself as a Surgeon Tuesday, but for people's context, right? They are in chats. They can easily give me information on what's going on, and same with everybody else, but it's a collective of people. You can disassociate yourself. I have John Sullivan. I have Jaden X. That separates, I have Insurgents USA, civil rights organization, so it separates my I separate my identity based on the specific role that I'm playing, right?
Is there really a separation?
There is a separation. There is a separation for sure, because I can't be in a crowd full of Trump supporters and say fuck the police or say the things that I would during my regular activism.
Here we can see video footage of James Sullivan inside the retirement.